Turn in your Bibles, please, to John chapter 8 this morning, John chapter 8. In John chapter 8 and in verse 31, we read these words, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." So according to the word of God, a very necessary prerequisite for being a disciple of Jesus Christ is continuing in his word. It's not just getting started in the word. It's not just acknowledging the Word. It's not having a superficial recognition of the Word. It's continuing in the Word. That's what the book says. "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I don't know about you. I presume that you're probably a freedom-loving person. I am. I love freedom. I'm thankful for it. I get a little irritated when I sense that freedom is being encroached upon. In thinking about this verse, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," the opposite of truth is a lie. The opposite of freedom is bondage. So the conclusion that I come to is, as well as truth making me free, lies keep me in bondage. All right, why be in bondage if you don't have to be? Now, we know that's true politically. It's just 2-3 weeks ago on a Sunday night I addressed that subject. But I would use that only as a springboard for gathering information this morning. People are being freed in certain parts of the world. In the last 12 months, over 600 Baptist churches have been started in Romania alone. And various organizations are taking Bibles into those former countries by virtually the truckloads. The more people get a hold of the truth, the freer they'll get. A Bible-reading people is impossible to enslave. Historically, that has always been true. A Bible-reading people is impossible to enslave. I didn't even say Bible-believing. Just Bible-reading. You can't enslave a Bible-reading people because they get too many principles of freedom. And they fall in love with freedom. And freedom is to be enjoyed, and the Lord wants you to enjoy it, and truth is what makes you free. Now, I'm not addressing this on a political plane primarily today, but some other lies that hold the American public, generally speaking, in bondage. And so many people today in our neighborhood, in our city, and in our nation are in spiritual, emotional, or physical bondage because of lies. And the only thing that will set them free is truth. The truth shall make you free. And so I began this week to sit down and just brainstorm and think about some of the lies, and then I began to look in the book and match the thing up, and it's amazing what the Bible has to say. We're going to look at a lot of verses today. In fact, I probably won't even get through this whole message. That's almost a foregone conclusion before I start, but we're going to look as much of it as we can. Lie number one that America has swallowed, hook, line, and sinker, is that education answers all. That's lie number one. America worships at the altar of education. And I don't have anything against education. I'm not opposed to it. I've got more than probably most people do, but I'm not picking a bone with education, but I got a real problem with the idea that education is the answer to everything. Because it isn't. Because it isn't. What is? Let's look in Proverbs chapter 2. Most of our scripture reading today will be out of Proverbs. Why? Because number one, I can keep you in one book. You won't have to look too far. But number two, Proverbs is a great book of wisdom. You can get all kinds of interesting tidbits out of Proverbs. Now in Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifted up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Get it now. "For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." You know what you need more than you need education? You need wisdom. And wisdom doesn't come from the University of Washington. Wisdom doesn't come from Evergreen State College. They don't even pass out knowledge, let alone wisdom. Wisdom doesn't come from Puget Sound Community College. It doesn't come from Harvard or Yale or Princeton or Dartmouth. Wisdom, the verse says, comes from God. That's where you get wisdom. You need wisdom more than you need education. All right, now, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What's truth? Jesus said in John 17, 17, thy word is truth. I believe with all my heart what I hold in my hand is truth. And what I'd like to do with this message today is convince you in the depths of your heart that it's an exciting and thrilling thing to know that you have the truth in your lap and it'll set you free. It'll set you free from lies and bondage and encumbrances that shackle mankind. That thing will set you free. Well, what are some of the lies that education has propagated upon the American public? We've said education doesn't answer all, and it doesn't. And what are some of the lies? Well, lie number one is that man can improve the world. Man can improve the world. That's a lie. That's a lie. Now, I didn't say that the world couldn't be improved. I didn't say that. What I said was it's a lie to think that man can improve the world, because he can't. He said, oh, well, now, come on. Now, let me show you the technique that is used by the news media and the educational system to convince you of this thing, and it's primarily a technique of guilt. And if you're not participating in one of their certified, registered, organized programs to make the world a better place, then they make you feel guilty like you're some kind of a slug and a deadbeat.
Yeah.
And one of the first issues that's usually addressed in that, of course, is the issue of war. Because every major politician for who knows how many centuries have addressed peace, peace, peace in all of his political speeches. And we need peace. And yet, interestingly, man has not done such a good job for 5,800 years of analyzed history. History that's been under the searchlight of examination, under the microscope of inspection. Over 5,800 years of history, the historians can only find less than 300 years of peace. But somehow I am made to feel guilty if I will allow them to, because the Croatians are fighting the Serbs, and the Russians are beating up on the Afghans, and dictators whooping up on the Haitians. Amen? And we ought to be doing something about it, and it's our fault. I refuse to accept the bondage of that guilt. I'm not going to do it. Why? Because the truth set me free. He said, well, what's the truth? Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. Here's the truth now. The truth will make you free, folks. Verse 7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Now, that's the truth. I wonder if anyone ever took one step further back in their analyzation of current events and began to think, well, now, I wonder what it is that causes civil war in Yugoslavia. Maybe someone's ways don't please the Lord. I wonder why it is that we have civil war and drought and famine all over Africa. I wonder why Africa's infected with AIDS at a rampant pace. Could it be that it's because someone's ways don't please the Lord? Could it be? Now, when you understand the truth, you understand what Jesus said about wars and rumors of wars. I'm not a warmonger. I'm not for war. War is an atrocity. We all understand that and know that. No one appreciates war, certainly not anyone here. But on the other side of the coin, I'm not going to be made to feel guilty because of what's going on in Yugoslavia when the bottom line of it is someone's ways don't please the Lord. Now, that's the truth of the thing right there. You know what the truth will do? It'll set you free. When I see a bumper sticker that says, visualize world peace. The innuendo of the thing is, if enough people get together and visualize world peace, it's going to happen. That's a lie.
Amen.
It's not the truth. And that lie will hold you in bondage. The truth of the matter is, there's only one that can institute peace, and that's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that'll bring peace. Oh, I'm glad that I have the truth. Here's another lie that the modern educational news media system has put upon us, and that is, what are you doing about the poor and the homeless? And again, you're kind of made to feel guilty about all the folks living under the bridge, you know, and wherever. Well, now, wait a minute. Wait just a cotton picking minute. I refuse to feel guilty about that. I'm not going to do it. You say, why? All right, God lays out a clear-cut, three-step program in understanding the issue. Let me show it to you. Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19. And I'm reminded of the fact that Jesus himself said, the poor you will have with you always. Now, he said it. So how in the world can I change what he said was always going to be? I can't change it. Oh, but you have so much, and they have so little, and what we need to do is socialize everything. Oh, no. No, that's a lie. That's a lie. All right? There are millions of people that bought that lie for 70 years in communist bloc countries, and they lived in bondage of a lie, is what they did. I'm not going to buy it. All right, now, three-step program, Proverbs 19, verse 17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. And that which he hath given will he pay him again. That's step number one, is the Lord is interested in the poor. God does have an interest in poor folks. And he says, if you'll give something to the poor, God will consider it as a loan to him. That's a pretty good deal. Because God will pay you back. And when God pays back, he pays back in rich dividends.
Yes, he does.
So that's a good deal. But it doesn't stop there. That's just step number one. You see, it's the truth that will set you free. Look in Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29 and in verse 7. Notice the book says, the righteous considereth the cause of the poor. All right, now we got a righteous man. He comes along, he sees a poor guy, and you know what he does? He stops and he thinks about it. He considers the cause. Why is this guy poor? Now, some people are poor because they have no control over their circumstances and can't do anything about it. All right, in that event, you know what you do? You give that guy some money, and the Lord will consider it a loan to him. That's a good deal. You can't beat that. But there's lots of folks, particularly in America, are poor because they choose to be poor. Why do they choose to be? All right, step number three, Proverbs 24. Isn't it wonderful that you got the truth to set you free from all that junk out there? All that garbage floating around, and all you got to do is consult the truth. That's all. Just consult the truth. All right, now look here. In Proverbs 24 and verse 30, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. And I saw and considered it well, and I looked upon it and received instruction. So he looked at this guy. This guy's a slug. He's laying around doing nothing, you know. His walls are broken down. His fields are overgrown. He's not tending the business. What's he doing? Well, here's his attitude. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. In other words, this guy's the giant procrastinator. He said, well, I'm just going to get a little more sack time. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. So step number one, God says, consider the poor. Step number two, consider the cause of the poor. Step number three, if they're poor because they're a lazy loaf, too bad. They shall go wanting in the time of the harvest. The Lord lays the thing out. The truth will set you free from all the guilt that the media is trying to heap upon you about the homeless that are running around. I don't feel guilty at all. Not one bit about it. I know if I see a guy that's got a real problem, genuine circumstances, tough luck, you know the deal. All right, okay. All right, we'll respond. We'll help any way we can, right? But if he just wants to be a deadbeat, that's his problem. Free country. Help yourself. Here's another lie. The lie, and of course you know what it is, the lie of saving the environment. Now they're trying to make us all feel guilty, and we've got a plane load of bureaucrats down in Rio de Janeiro right now, and they're going to, you know, solve the world's problems and save the environment, and and all that kind of stuff. And I appreciate the fact that there are few people out there, even in the scientific community, that exercise enough common sense to speak out and show that this wacko insanity is just that, insanity. And I appreciate that. And one of those people is a former governor of our state right here in Washington, Dixie Lee Ray. And she's written a great book on the subject, exposing the myths of environmentalism. And she's a scientist. She's a marine biologist. She was governor of the state of Washington. And she's down there in Rio de Janeiro right now. And the reason she's there is to expose these phonies for what's going on. She's not there participating. She's scrutinizing their activity and going to give a real valid report. I'm glad she's there. And I'm glad for a few others like her that are willing to speak out and against all these environmental phonies and myths and bunk that's out there. But you know what? More than that, more than Dixie Lee Ray's book on trashing the planet, which I'm glad for, more than that, I'm glad for just the truth. Because the truth will make you free. They try to make me feel guilty for driving my car. I refuse to do it. As a matter of fact, one of these days I'm going to find me about a 1956 pickup, and it ain't going to have no pollution devices on it. It's going to have dual exhaust, and it's going to rumble and purr, and I'm going to spill it all into the environment. Just so I can say, so there. You know, it ain't going to have no catalytic converter, and it's going to go, blah, 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 you know, amen? Yeah, sure, that's the deal. All right, I know what my Bible says. Look in Genesis chapter 1 with me. They're gonna make me guilty over pouring soap down the drain. They're going to make me guilty over, driving a car down the road. Now, wait a minute. Wait just a cotton-picking minute. Let's look at this thing here. I got the truth, folks. I got it right here in my hands. In Genesis chapter 1 and in verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now you see they're trying to take that dominion away from you. That includes spotted owls, by the way. That includes them. That includes cattle. God very specifically says cattle, and you know what the big push now is, don't you? The big push is they're trying to tell us that cattle all over the world are causing too much methane gas, which is depleting the ozone layer. That's right. They're trying to tell us that. It's a myth. It's a joke. It's a lie. And so what they're trying to do is make pantheists out of all of us. Well, if we can't raise these cows and kill these cows and eat these cows, then what are we supposed to do with them? We're supposed to treat them like the silly Hindus, the pantheists in India do. Just let them wander around and eat what we eat. Dumb, 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 dumb. That's a lie. I got the truth. I got dominion over all that stuff. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given unto you herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree of that which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And every beast of the earth and every fowl of the air and everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw that everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. In the evening and the morning were the sixth day. God gave it for us to have dominion over it. Now, the Bible is clear in the thing. You know, God advocates stewardship. And by the way, this is a bunny trail. It isn't in the message, but I got to give you this. You know what really promotes good stewardship of land? Private ownership. Private ownership. Now, out here in the West, we got all these millions of acres of government-owned land. And the government's supposed to be a good steward of the land. Are they doing a good job out here in all these wide open spaces? Well, this helps our wildlife. Yeah, sure. Do you know where the biggest deer herd in America is? It's in Texas. All private land. You know where the second biggest deer herd in America is? Pennsylvania. All private land. You know where the third biggest deer herd in America is? New York. Can you believe it? New York State. I've driven all over the West. I've driven all over Colorado, Washington, Oregon, Wyoming, Montana, Idaho. I have driven all over the West. I've never hit a deer. In New York State, I hit two of them. I mean, you know what I'm telling you? You know, recently I cut down 10 big fir trees up in my woods and had them sawed up into lumber for my barn. I didn't cut them all down. I just cut 10 of them down. You know why I didn't cut them all down? Because I thought about the future. I said, you know, a few years from now I might want 10 more. You know who thinks of that? Private ownership thinks of that. When God sent Israel into the land of Canaan, he said, all right, this tribe gets this, this tribe gets this, this tribe gets this, this tribe gets this. You know how much the government got? They didn't get anything. Private ownership. You know what the truth will do? It'll make you free, folks. The truth will make you free. They tell us global warming, global warming. 20 years ago, they were all telling us, the scientific community was telling us we're coming into another ice age. You remember that? That was all the talk. Another ice age. Oh, it's horrible. It's threatening. It's inevitable. It's coming. An ice age. And now it's global warming. I don't believe either of them. Look in Genesis chapter 8. I got truth, folks. I got truth. And the truth will make you free. I'm not going to sit around and wring my hands worrying over global warming or an ice age, because neither one of them is going to take place. You know why I know that? Truth. You know, there's people running all around this town of ours in which we live that are just knocking themselves silly, beating themselves up over all these myths and lies. They're in bondage. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. All right, Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. Look at the verse. While the earth remaineth. And I guess when it no longer remains, you don't have to worry about it anyway. Amen? While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Now the thing is clear. Some years are going to be warm, some years are going to be cold, right? Some summers are going to be long, some summers are going to be short. But you're always going to have the same deal. Seed time, harvest time, cold and heat, winter and summer, the same old deal. Same old. It's just going to keep on going on while the earth remaineth. But man's too impressed with himself. That's the problem right there. You know, these environmental wackos now, they're trying to tell you that you ought to be a vegetarian. I'm not going to get into that kind of bondage. I'm just going to keep eating swine, and I'm going to eat bacon and pork chops, and I'm going to eat prime rib and steak and hamburger, and I'm going to eat fish and turkey and chicken, and you know, if things get tough, I might eat something else. You know, somebody gave me a little brochure today on the Roadkill Cafe. It says you kill it, we grill it, man. You say, yes, but you just don't understand. Yeah, I do understand. I got the truth. I got the truth. What's the truth in the thing? Look in Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9. Isn't it a blessing to have truth?
Yeah.
Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1. Wisdom hath builded her house. So I guess it's wise to build a house. You might have to cut down a tree or two to do it. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beast. That's wisdom. You get one up nice and fat, a nice perfect steer up about 1,100 pounds. You know what you do? You slit his throat, boy. You hang him up and butcher him and throw him in the freezer. That's what you do. Wisdom kills her beast. All right? That's not all. Look over in 1 Timothy chapter 4. This is a critical verse. You need to see this. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I absolutely refuse to be in bondage to the world's lies and system. I am not going to tolerate the shackles of that garbage. I'm not going to do it. And you don't have to either. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, is there any doubt but what we live in the latter times? Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving to them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. Now, the Bible's about as clear as you can be on that thing. Amen? Some folks say, well, we're anti-hunting. We're not for killing Bambi. I'm sure glad I got the truth. Now, whether you go hunting for Bambi or not, it's up to you, but I'm glad I got the liberty to do it. I'm glad I got the freedom to do it. And there's going to be some dead Bambi soon, because I saw Bambi's tracks in my garden the other morning, you know. So Bambi's flirting with it, I can tell you that right now. All right, now look over in Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 27, it says, "The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting." You see, hunting is not condemned. What's condemned is the man that kills for the wanton pleasure of killing. That's what's condemned. All right? I was taught that from a boy. I was taught, you kill it, you eat it. You know, the only exceptions to that were for what my dad called varmints. You know, you can kill varmints and just let them rot. But anything else, you kill it, you eat it, you take care of it. All right? So that's a lie. That's a myth that's being pushed on us. You know, this is a little off the track, but I'm going to throw this in. Because all I'm trying to do is illustrate how glorious it is to have the truth and how practical the truth is in every little arena of your life.
Yes, sir.
Now, I want to show you one of those things. And this might not be of any great interest to most of you, and yet the overtone of it will be. As you know, I like to fool around with horses a little bit and have most of my life. And basically what we have today in the horse training world are two schools of thought. The more predominant new age type of thinking, and there's lots of new horse gurus out there that are giving seminars, making videotapes, writing books, and it's a multi-million dollar business now across America. And there's a variety of names out there, and they got a lot of good ideas and some good points. And some of them go further with this than others. But if you listen to some of these guys carefully, what they're really saying is it almost becomes a spiritual experience. And it's definitely new age in its overtones and its leanings. And the idea of the thing is, it's what they call oneness with the horse. And you get into mental tune with the animal. And you kind of, it's the old kind of Indian guru kind of, you know, and it's almost this fifth dimension spirit floating around, and your spirit becomes unified with the spirit of the horse, and you kind of flow together. And yeah, That's what all the new age yuppies floating around here are subscribing to, and they're flocking to these clinics and paying from $300 to $500 to go to these things. And here a horse guru give out this line of swill. Now, on the other side of the coin, there's the old time buckaroo method. That's take that colt and snub him up tight to a post and sack him out, and if he blinks twice, beat him with a club, you know. You can line him out right away, you know. It's like the old farmer getting the attention of the mule, you know, that kind of thing. And that's probably a little radical the other side. But a lot of old buckaroos, you see, those old timers broke and rode and trained and rode more steers off of more horses than most of these new guys will ever see in their whole life, because it was a business, it was a way of life, it was a have-to, it was a... And the old timers, you know, they'd have a whole string of what they call a remuda of horses, because they worked them so hard on a cattle drive that every man would have to have five or six horses, because after they worked them a while, they were so whipped that they'd have to have some time off, and that was kind of the way the thing worked. And so it was kind of a rough and tough and tumble and slam-bam operation, you know. That's just the nature of the thing. And so they developed a way of training horses with that kind of attitude. Now we have the New Age movement, which is all love and goo and nice. And so you take a little of this, and you say there must be a balance in the thing. You know where you get the balance? You get it from the truth. You get it from the truth. Now let me show you the thing right here. Let me show you. Proverbs chapter 12. All right, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 10, it says, "A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast." So if you have a beast, whether it's a dog or a cat or a horse or whatever it is, if you're a righteous man, you're going to regard the life of it. You're going to take care of it. You're going to provide for its basic needs. You're going to provide basic shelter and food and adequate medication if the occasion arises, et cetera, et cetera. That's what the Bible says, right? All right, but now am I going to get in tune with this thing and never express disapproval, never express disciplinary action as some of these would advocate? Well, where's the truth, all right? Proverbs 26. Here's the other side of the coin, and there is another side of the coin. Proverbs 26, verse 3, a whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. Amen? I'll guarantee you, I will absolutely guarantee you, there are some problems that some old knot-headed horse you can cure with a club that you can't cure with anything else. We got a colt somebody gave us a year ago, and he bit Linda the other day. So I said, from now on, you go out there, you get you a big stick, and you carry it. And he even shows a tendency, you just whoop him right upside the head, just as hard as you can. I'll guarantee you, it'll fix it. That's an absolute guarantee. It'll fix it. You say, how do you know it? You're so smart. I know it because I have the truth. I got the truth. The creator of that horse told me so. I got the truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I refuse to be in bondage to a dumb animal. Anymore, and this leads me to another lie that the modern educational system has propagated upon us, that we should be in bondage and parents should be held hostage by uncontrolled children.
Yeah.
You've seen them in the grocery stores and other public places.
Yeah.
Time out. Time out. Time out. You've seen that act run out. Time out. Give me a break. Well, we have to, according to the prevailing psychological thinking in the educated community, allow a child to express himself. And all that pent-up frustration and hostility has to be allowed to come out. 20 years later, that same kid is standing before a judge.
Amen.
And he's either ordered to jail or get it to a anger management class. Well, that's because he didn't learn how to control his anger 20 years before.
Yeah, right.
There shouldn't be a 3-year-old anywhere that hasn't learned how to control his anger.
Amen.
But parents all over America are held hostage by their kids. He said, what do you mean they're held hostage? They're constantly lying and making excuses for them. The favorite lie in America is, well, he hasn't had his nap. What's that got to do with anything? Does that give him the permission to act like an uncivilized Comanche Indian? I mean, you know, so what if he hasn't had his nap? I haven't had mine either. Yeah, I do need it more, brother. I need it more than that little snot does. You know what'll set you free from that garbage? The truth! Look at some verses. Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19. Oh, I'm so glad for the truth, folks. Proverbs 19, verse 18. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13, verse 24. He that spareth the rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasten him betimes. Proverbs 22, Proverbs 22. God's not short on this subject. Verse 15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Do you see it? Even yours. Even your precious little darling. Foolishness is bound in his heart, see? All right, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Chapter 23, verse 13. 23:13. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. See, God's being sarcastic. Thou shalt beat him with a rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. Here's another lie that's been pushed down America's throat, and that is correct political action will improve America. If we just kind of get our ducks together in this next election, if we just kind of get the right guy and if we do everything just right, and maybe it will improve America. Proverbs 29, verse 2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. You know what the problem is? The problem is unrighteousness. That's the problem. You know, you want to elect a president that might make a difference? I mean, really, might make a difference? Elect Dan Quayle. He might make a difference. You say, why? Well, you know this. You know how the press is raining all over his parade about this speech. Do you know what he actually said? Let me read to you what he actually said. Not what the press said he said, but what he actually said. I'll read it to you off the front page of this week's Conservative Chronicle. Here it is. Quote, verbatim. This is what the man said. Bearing babies irresponsibly is simply wrong. Anybody got a problem with that?
No.
I agree with the man, don't you? That's a good moral, biblical statement. Failing to support children one has fathered is wrong. You got a problem with that?
No.
Good. All right. We must be unequivocal about this. It doesn't help matters when primetime TV has Murphy Brown, a character who supposedly epitomizes today's intelligent, highly paid, professional woman, mocking the importance of fathers by bearing a child alone and calling it just another lifestyle choice. I know it's not fashionable to talk about moral values, but we need to do it. Even though our cultural leaders in Hollywood, network TV, the national newspapers routinely jeer at them, I think that most of us in this room know that some things are good and other things are wrong. Well, you say, I'd like to improve America. Elect righteous leaders. Not the ones who have the most political savvy. Not the ones who have the most business experience. Not the ones that are billionaires. Elect one that has a little morality to him. That has a sense of righteousness. The Bible's clear. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Here's another lie, and that is materialism is success or happiness. God's not against you accumulating some worldly goods. God endorses the work ethic, and the obvious result of the work ethic is goods. Amen? God endorses capitalism, and God endorses entrepreneurism. God endorses those things. And the obvious result of those things are material goods. But if you have bought in the line that that will produce happiness and success, you're 100% wrong. I'm glad I've got the truth on the thing. Because had I not ever been exposed to a Bible, I would have bought that line. I would have said, well, that must be it. Let's chase this one down. That must be it. That's the road to go, boy. Look in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 27. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. Oh, I'm glad God told me that. Chapter 19, verse 1. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. And, of course, you're familiar with 1 Timothy chapter 6. It says, the love of money is the root of all evil. But here's another trap that folks get themselves into, and only the truth can set them free, and that's the get-rich-quick schemes. I have a friend, and he's a good friend, and I appreciate him, but that poor guy, he's bought into every get-rich-quick scheme that ever come down the road. I mean, every pyramid sales, get-rich-quick, here's a way to do it without working, and boy, you know, I mean, he's bought into the thing, and they just, you know what will set you free from that? The truth. You say, well, what's the truth? All right, here's the truth. Look in Proverbs 13. Aren't you glad you got the truth?
Yeah.
You know what God's people ought to do? God's people ought to read through the Proverbs every month. Yeah. You ought to read through the book of Proverbs every month. All right, now in Proverbs chapter 13 and in verse 11, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. In other words, God blesses good old-fashioned hard work. No shortcuts. Just good old-fashioned hard work. That's what God blesses. All right, now look, if you would, in chapter 28, Proverbs 28 and verse 19, 28:19. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough.
A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. To have respect to persons is not good, for a piece of bread that man will transgress. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. You see the thing right there? Get rich quick schemes. Don't buy into them. Just figure you got to do it by hard work. Now, you know, the easiest thing, there's millions and millions of dollars being spent every day on the lotto and all that stuff in this state right here. Amen? Why? Because you got all these people who want to get rich quick. You know, let's just get rich as fast as we can. That's why we have Gamblers Anonymous now, just like Alcoholics Anonymous. Folks get hooked on that thing, and they gamble. They gamble themselves into poverty. Why? They're trying to get rich quick. You know, if I didn't have the truth, you know what I'd be doing today? I'd be betting on the horses. I would. I'm telling you, I would, if I didn't have the truth. We went by the mailbox on the way down the driveway today, and I drove in. My wife reached in and got the paper, and then we got in. I said, turn to the sports page. Tell me who won the Belmont. I'm into horse racing. I don't gamble on horses. You know why I don't? There's only one reason I don't. Because I have the truth. That's the only reason I don't. If I didn't have the truth, I'd be down at the track. Let me see. Yeah, oh yeah, I would. I'm telling you, I would. Except that God's given me the truth. The truth will keep you from all kinds of troubles, folks. It sets you free. And you know what that racetrack would do? It'd put a pair of shackles around me, and it'd put a hook in my nose, and it'd just drag me down the road of sin and into utter poverty. One thing that sets you free, the truth. That's all, just truth. Nothing else will make you free, just truth. Folks, I got to quit, but I got to show you a couple more. Proverbs 3. I'm having fun, hope you are. When I built this message, I knew it was too long. I preached it down in Centralia this morning. I only got about half through it, but I'm getting better. I fine-tuned it on them, see? Okay. All right, now, Proverbs 3. And verse 21, let me show you something that just keeps all kinds of Americans in bondage. It's fears and phobias. They're afraid of a million things out there. I don't have time to list them all. You know what they are. So people don't sleep. They take drugs. They take tranquilizers. They take sleeping pills. Let me show you the remedy of the thing right here. Verse 21 of Proverbs 3. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Them what them? What is the thing that I'm supposed to keep in front of my eyes? Here it is. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. That's the them. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Oh, man, nothing like the truth to make you go to bed at night and say good night and conk out. Isn't that a blessing? Oh, I'll tell you, fears and phobias. People get fears and phobias about all kinds of things, like their health. Now, I know that the body wears out and runs down and you develop health problems because that's just part of the general curse under which we operate under, amen? And we all know that. And there's a variety of reasons why people get health problems. Like Job, he got some, and it was for an unusual reason, and those happen. But just generally speaking, in the broad sense of the word, consider this. People say today, well, I'm trying to stay healthy, so I'm out, or I'm down at the gym. You know, amen, doing the whole gig, right? And I'm eating right. I'm staying away from beef, too fat. Staying away from pork, too fat. And I'm fish and chicken only, and my veggies. I eat my veggies, boy, my fresh fruit, yes, sir. And I'm staying healthy. The poor sucker dies of cancer, you know. But that's, you know the deal. Because we have this certain fear and phobia about health, so we're doing all this extracurricular activity. Wait a minute. What does the truth say about health? Does the truth say eat your veggies? What does the truth say? Ah. Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, shall we consult the truth?
Yeah.
Let's look at the truth. Proverbs 3, verse 7. Here's something that the average American knows nothing about to preserve health. 3:7, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. You mean departing from evil could help my health? It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bone. Maybe if you depart from evil, you won't need a bone marrow transplant. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Doesn't the Bible say, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the face of the earth? Interesting. The Bible has an entirely different formula for health and strength and longevity than the world has. Consult the truth. Boy, it's amazing what you learn in the truth. Now, I know you can overdo it. And the Bible recognizes that because the Bible says a man given to appetite should put a what to his throat? That's it. So God's saying right there, don't overdo it. Don't get carried away. You know, don't go overboard on the thing. I discovered something this week in my Bible. I know I've seen it a million times, but it just never hit home till now. In recent weeks and months, whatever, I've been experimenting with my own diet a little bit, and I have discovered that I do better if I lay off the sugar, as much as I love this stuff. If I lay off of it, you know, lay off the Twinkies, oh. And the chocolate, oh. And the ice cream, you know what I've discovered? I discovered I have more energy, I require less sleep, and I hate sleep, because sleep, to me, is the biggest waste of time in the world, you know. I keep thinking of all the things I could be doing while I'm sleeping, you know, but you gotta, you know. So, and I just feel better if I don't eat a lot of sugar. I've noticed just a little here and there doesn't seem to make any difference. But I go on a binge and have an overdose, you know. Linda makes a pie and I eat the whole pie, you know. One of those deals. You know, it's one of those things right there, okay. All right, now, what's it? The truth is amazing. Let me show you something. Proverbs 25. You say, well, that Bible just isn't relevant. Shows you what you know. Proverbs 25, here's the truth. Verse 27, it is not good to eat much honey. Oh, doesn't say you can't eat any of it. As a matter of fact, there are occasions in the Bible when it advocates honey, does it not? But it says it's not good to eat much of it. Now, is this the truth?
Yeah.
Will the truth set you free? Will it set your body free from going when you're eating too much sugar?
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah, it will. It'll set you free now. This book will set you free. Now, we've discussed a variety of practical kind of down-to-earth issues, but let me give you one in the spiritual realm. Let's kind of point that direction as we conclude. Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28. All right, now, you know what we're dealing with here, folks? We're dealing with truth. And truth is what will make you free. All right, now in Proverbs 28, verse 13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. One of the greatest lies being perpetrated upon the American public is, you can sin and get away with it. You can do what you jolly well please, and there are no consequences to be paid. It's a lie. It'll hold you in chains. It'll slap you in prison. It'll put you in the back of the slammer. You better watch that lie. It's a lie. It's not the truth. The truth will make you free. Notice the verse one more time. The verse says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. You say, well, what am I supposed to do with my sin? You got to get another covering. It's not one you can provide. It's one God provides. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, the world would like you to believe that you can cover your own sin, or there is no need to cover it at all. But the Bible says you need another covering. Another lie is that you can get the job done by good works. But the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, I don't know if this is palatable or offensive to you, and it doesn't really matter, but I know this. Bible believers ain't buying into the system out there, because the system is packed wall to wall, treetop tall, with lies. Just one lie after another, after another, after another, after another. They're lies. And lies put people in bondage. And the worst bondage of all is spiritual bondage. The worst bondage is thinking I might make heaven when I'm headed straight for hell. The worst bondage of all is thinking that I can somehow do something to get my sins forgiven when the only redemptive power is tied up in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. What a horrible lie to live through life believing and die and go to hell and split it wide open when the power of Jesus Christ is available to save you and forgive you and cleanse you and make you one. Don't buy into the devil's lie. Believe the book, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Oh, God, I'm glad I got the truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Let's stand for prayer.